Well, as Jim mentioned, and you may have already noticed, we have a little different order of worship this morning so that we can focus on some thoughts related to our giving. And so we are thinking about the giving that God has done for us and the giving that we need to do for Him. And we put the Lord's Supper then and the giving opportunity that everyone has after the lesson so that you will have some opportunity to reflect upon these things as we partake of the Lord's Supper and then as we give this morning. So let's get into our lesson today. Why should I give to the local church? And this is a question, you know, that some people ask. And that's the question that we want to answer this morning from the perspective of the Scriptures and from the perspective of what we do here with that what is given. And so let's begin, first of all, with 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2, which says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." The practice of New Testament giving began in the New Testament, and it is something that Paul encourages the church to do here, the church of Corinth. And he says it's also something that he has instructed the churches of Galatia to do. And so every first day of the week, they were to lay something aside so that they would be ready to give to whatever it was that they needed to give to take care of their business. Now, this is not talking about giving to some generic charitable organization. This is talking about giving to the local church. We're not talking about even giving to some church-related project. Those, if people want to give to some project that some other church is doing somewhere, great, that's great, wonderful. But that should not take away from giving to the local congregation. If it does, then we need to think about how we're giving, because God wants us to support our local congregation. And the giving that's done by the local congregation then gets to be used by the local congregation to support the preaching and teaching of the gospel and many other wonderful things that the local congregation does. And so when we're talking about weekly, regular contributions on the first day of the week, as Paul does here in 1 Corinthians 16, he's talking about giving to the local church. So let's ask that question, why should I give to the local church? Well, first of all, we should give to the local church because God gave to you. And that is very personal. I want us to think about the personal nature of what God did for us this morning when He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Where Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself," notice these words, "for me." And Paul is making this very personal here. And he's saying that Christ gave his life and God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, for me. Very personally, and for you, very personally, that God's gift was given to you in a very personal and direct way. The sacrifice of Christ wasn't just for some anonymous people. It was for everyone and for individuals specifically. And that means that the gift of Jesus Christ was a personal gift from God to you, specifically and personally. And so, why should I give personally to the local church? Because God gave personally to me. Now, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember what God gave for us very specifically. And I want you to notice the wording here in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, where we read, "This is my body." And these are the words of Jesus to his disciples. He says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." We think about the body of Jesus Christ. It was given for me, very specifically. And the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me, very specifically. And as I eat the bread, I should be thinking about what God gave to me in the body of Jesus Christ. As I drink the fruit of the vine, I should be thinking about what Jesus Christ, how he shed his blood very specifically for me. This isn't impersonal. This isn't anonymous. This is very personal and very individual. And so Jesus did these things specifically and individually for each one of us. And if God gave specifically for me, then I need to give specifically for him and to him. And this is what local congregational giving does. It allows me to show my love for God. It allows you to show your love for God as we give, reflecting upon what God has given to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, Paul says this to the church at Corinth, "I am testing the sincerity of your love." He said those words, New King James Version, "I am testing the sincerity of your love." Giving is a test. It's a test of whether we love God or not. That's the bottom line. And if we're giving like we should, then we pass that test. And if we're not giving like we should, we're not going to pass that test. And how is God going to think about that? When he has given his son for us and we're holding back from him. Well, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But God is testing us, and he giving to the local congregation proves how much we truly love God. Now, point number two is this. Why should I give to the local church? Because the local church needs your gift. We've got many areas of work that we do in the local church. This is our, as a congregation, this is our primary area of work and labor right here in this local congregation in the city of New Boston, Texas. Okay? And there's a lot of needs that we have. We've got a building and grounds to maintain. We have an educational program. We have transportation needs. We have youth activities. We have domestic and foreign missions that need to be supported. We have an internet work to do. And our internet work is doing tremendous work. People from all over the world come to our website and they get materials that they need to preach the gospel in many other places in the world. The United States is the number one visitor of our website, but the number two visitor is the Philippines. The number three visitor is Nigeria. So we are taking the gospel to these other places through our website. And there's visitors from all over the world that come and visit our website. And so we have an internet work. We have bills to pay that we need to pay in order to do what we do here. Keep the lights on, make sure the water is flowing, all kinds of things. But the main thing that we need to focus on, as far as our giving is concerned, is the supporting of preaching and teaching the gospel. And you say, why should I give to support the preaching and teaching of the gospel? Well, let's think about that question for just a moment. First of all, we should give to support the preaching and teaching of the gospel because not everyone can be a preacher. In Romans chapter 12, and verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Notice that expression. All the members do not have the same function. Not everyone can be a preacher. And that's okay. The Bible teaches that not all the members have the same function. But what does that mean then for my giving? I can support the preaching of the gospel through my giving. I can, as it were, be a preacher by giving so that preaching is supported. Not everyone can be a preacher, but we can participate in the preaching by giving. Now look at what Paul says in Philippians 5:17. He said, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Now he was talking in that context about giving. And he was thanking them for the gift that they had given him. And he was talking about his work. And notice what he says about it. He says, there are fruits that are going to abound because of the giving that you give, and they're going to be put to your account because you gave. And you're going to be able to take credit as much as you gave for those fruits. And so by giving, we participate in the preaching of the gospel. Philippians 1:4-5, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy. Notice what he is thankful for. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. For your fellowship. They had fellowship in the gospel because of what they gave to the Apostle Paul. And so, why should I give to support preaching? So that I can participate in preaching the gospel. Third, so that I can support and uphold the whole truth. Now I want you to think about this point for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul wrote these words. He said, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now the church is supposed to support and uphold the truth. All the truth that the Bible teaches, the church is supposed to support and uphold that. Where else are you going to find a place that is going to support and uphold the truth other than the local congregation? That's the only place that you're going to find that. Oh yes, there are some good works out there. There's some good works that do disaster relief. They're doing good. There's some good works that work with orphan children. They're doing great. Can we support those? Absolutely. But are they there to support and uphold the whole truth? That's not their function. Only the local church does that. Only the local church is going to preach the whole counsel of God. As Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now I want us to think about this for a moment, because you don't get to support the preaching of the whole truth just anywhere. You're not going to find that in any other organization in the country other than the local church. And the local church that is preaching and teaching all the whole counsel of God. Now we've got to support that. We've got to uphold preachers and teachers who are standing up for what the Bible says. Because it's not going to be done anywhere else. Politics isn't going to save us. Our government isn't going to save us. No other institution is going to save us other than the local church, where there is the preaching and teaching of the whole truth. In fact, we live in a world that hates the truth more often than not. And who will stand up for the whole truth if we do not stand up for the whole truth? Are we willing to let the truth die because we are not willing to give to support the preaching of the gospel? That is what would happen if we did not support it. And so we should give to support the preaching of the gospel because not everyone can be a preacher. Because we want to participate in preaching the gospel. Because we want to support and uphold the truth. And also because the gospel, the preaching of the gospel saves lives. And it saves souls. Now I want you to look at these verses here in 1 Timothy 4:8 and 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of two things." Notice, the life that now is and of that which is to come. Gospel preaching saves lives right now, and it saves souls in eternity. Now that's what the Bible teaches. Right here, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And that's why we need to support the preaching and teaching of the gospel. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, we read, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Preaching saves lives. Preaching saves souls. We won't know the extent of how many lives we've saved and how many souls we've saved until we enter eternity. But it will be the case that there will be some that are there because of us and because of the preaching that we have done. Just a few weeks ago, Brother Phil Sanders was with us and we had a wonderful gospel meeting. And Brother Phil made it clear to me, we had breakfast together and he made it very clear to me that what we need to do more than anything is to support gospel preaching. He said that's the main thing, because it's the preaching that does the work. It's the preaching that saves lives. It's the preaching that saves souls. Now, it's not just me saying that because I'm a preacher. It's not just him saying that because he's a preacher. It's what the Bible teaches. It's what God wants, and we've got to support the preaching of the gospel. Now, it's important that we understand that in supporting the many areas of work that the local church has to do, that elders sometimes have to make difficult decisions given the budget that they have. But look, we can make it easier for them. We can make it easier for our elders to manage the budget. And how can we do that? By giving more. And by making it a good problem for them to have instead of a bad problem for them to have. Instead of making it a problem of, well, what good work are we going to stop supporting? The problem would be, well, what good work are we going to add? Now that would be a good problem to have. Our giving affects that. Our giving helps or hinders the work that our elders do. Now, I want us to think about this giving for just a minute and the local giving that we do. Now, over the past 10 years, you can look this up on the internet or wherever you find information. There's been 30% inflation over the past 10 years. 30%. And Eddie, he's going to college and he's studying about accounting, and he was talking to me the other day about the future value of money. I was like, what in the world? How future value of money? You know, these are ideas that I don't know anything about because I don't study accounting. He said, "Yeah, Dad, the future value of money." I said, "Well, what about it?" He said, It's not good. It's not good." Oh, what do you mean it's not good? The future value of money is worth a lot less than it's worth right now. And that's because of inflation and a whole host of other things that I don't understand. But think about it like this. We're giving the same amount today that we gave 10 years ago. But there's been 30% inflation on the money. And what does that mean? It means we're doing 30% less with that money than we were 10 years ago. We cannot afford to be stagnant when it comes to our giving. That giving has to increase over time, or else we're not doing the same amount of work. Now, this is an important point that we should really think about, because we want to continue to do the good works that we're doing. But those works that we're doing, by giving the same amount that we've given today, they're not doing nearly as much with it as they were 10 years ago. And so our giving has to increase as our revenue increases. Does your giving go up when your income goes up? Or does it stay the same? That's a question that we have all got to ask ourselves. So why should I give to the local church? Because the local church needs me to give. But then third, why should I give to the local church? Because your gift makes a difference. My gift makes a difference. Your gift makes a difference. And it makes a difference in a lot of really great ways. And I really want you to enjoy this part, this point, because I'm going to review some of the things that we've done here and show you some of the pictures of things we've been involved in. First of all, our giving makes a difference in the lives of our youth. Of course, we have our Bible classes. We have our church-related youth activities, such as our summer youth series. We have summer camp. We've got our ice cream social. And we've got so many things that our youth benefit from as a result of our giving. And here's just a few pictures you can see of how our youth have benefited from giving. And if you see those smiling faces and you see the activities that our youth have participated in, know that your giving made a difference. Your giving makes a difference for people living in foreign countries and the various missions that are supported here. For example, our mission work in Egypt, in Central America, in the Philippines, in Nigeria, through our internet work, in India and Kenya. Those are other countries that are using our internet work for the missions. We've gone on mission trips here that have been supported. We've supported people who have gone on mission trips. And we have these images of our own people participating in mission work. And so your giving makes a difference to people in foreign countries. And by doing that, we are doing what Jesus told us to do, taking the gospel to the whole world. And we want to do that. We want to fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew 28:18-20. Now your gift makes a difference for the preaching students that we support. And we support preaching students at the Memphis School of Preaching, the Brown Trail School of Preaching, and the Southwest School of Bible Studies. And this work, you can see, these are some of the students that we've supported over the years. This is Chris Wilcutt. We've supported him. This is Robert Oren. Some of you may recognize this guy over here. This is Mr. Patterson. And then these are students. This man is a student now, currently. He's from China. And he's going to study to be a gospel preacher and go back to China and preach the gospel. Or Taiwan, I think it is. So think about the impact we are having in the lives of these men who are then going to dedicate themselves to go out and preach the gospel. This is a great thing. It's a tremendous thing. And it makes a difference to them that you support them. It makes a difference to our school district. And I want you to just think about just a moment. You may see some familiar faces up here. The good work that is being done in our school district by our administrators, by our teachers, by all who participate in there. And we have some good work that we do with our school district. And our school district benefits from the giving that you do here. They receive spiritual encouragement, our members here, and they get to take that spiritual encouragement and go out and apply it locally in our school district. And that impacts people. It impacts coworkers. It impacts students in our community. And your giving supports that work and that effort because you're supporting the work here at this local congregation. Our giving makes a difference for the poor in our community. Many poor have received help from our food pantry. They have received lodging and gas and other services. And we are encouraged in Galatians 6:10 to do good unto all men. And we have done good to many because of the benevolent programs that we've had here at this congregation. It makes a difference for the poor. And it makes a difference for your family. And I don't mean to embarrass anyone here. Some of these pictures are a little older than others, but they're good photos. And they remind us that we come here each week and we worship here. And this is the congregation that we love and that we support and of which we are members. And it makes a difference for our families. Many of the children in our families have been baptized here, become Christians here. Many of you get to be with your family here during on the first day of the week. This is valuable time together for us and for our families. It's time you get to spend with your children, giving them instruction, helping them to learn what the Bible teaches. It's part of the mission of Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4. Children, to parents, to raise up their children in the right way. And it makes a difference for everyone who attends this congregation. Your giving makes a difference for our families. Your giving makes a difference for everyone. We have our monthly potlucks that are supported by your giving. We have ladies' Bible classes that are supported by your giving. And many other activities throughout the year we engage in that are supported by your giving. And I will say this, last but not least, hopefully, it makes a difference in my family's life. And I am grateful to every single person here for giving. I am thankful. And my family is thankful. We have benefited tremendously from being here. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And so, why should I give to the local church? Because the church needs your gift. But then finally, why should I give to the local church? Because I have a Christian responsibility. And I'm just going to say this flat out. Not because I'm trying to wring dollars out of your pocket, but because I love you. Because I know what God can do for you through giving. But if you are partaking of the Lord's Supper and you have an income, you need to be putting something in the plate when it's passed by. Something. I'm not going to say how much, but it needs to be something. And we've got to give like God wants us to give. We've already looked at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. We give as we are prospered. And look, the bottom line is we have prospered tremendously here. We are prospering. People are doing really well here. And look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 10. For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. It's accepted according to what one has. That's how we need to give, according to what we do have. Each person has a responsibility to give. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19 says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." And somebody says, "Well, I'm not rich." Well, maybe you're not. But if Paul were to come here today and look at your life, he would probably say, "You are rich compared to me, compared to all the Christians that were members of the church in the first century, compared to all of those members of the church in third world countries. We are rich. We need to be ready to give and willing to share." Yes, God wants us to give. It's our responsibility to give. And God says, "If you don't believe me, test me. Try me and see what happens." In Malachi 3 and verses 8 through 10, Malachi wrote these words. And God spoke through Malachi. He said, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you?" And God's answer, "In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." And look at this. He says this, "And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts." Try me. He says, test me and see what? "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Now, this principle applies today as well. Now, I'm not saying if you give $10, you're going to get $100. I'm not saying anything like that. But when we give, God blesses us with a gift that is so much more valuable beyond what we've given. That's the point that we're trying to make here. Test God and see. If you're not giving, test God and see if when you start giving, to see what happens in your life. Proverbs 3 and verse 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Are we honoring God with our possessions? Now, giving means that we put our faith and trust in God to use that gift in a way that is going to do good. Now, a lot of us, you know, we have this mentality that I know better what to do with my money than somebody else does. But the bottom line is this: we don't know better what to do with our money than God does. Not a single one of us does. God can use that money in ways that I can't even fathom. And He can make it work in the best way possible, which is why it's always good to give to God. Now, we have an obligation to trust our local eldership to use what we give in a way that is going to be right and good. And we need to trust these men to do the job that they're given to do, to exercise oversight over what we give. Now, Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Now, if in our giving we are causing our elders grief, then we need to reevaluate how we're giving and what we're giving. And I'm not saying that anybody is. I'm not saying that anybody is. But I'm just saying, It would be much better for us if we gave in such a way so that we brought our eldership joy. That's how we need to give. And if we're using our money that we give as a political leverage, you know, that some people, I'm not saying I've seen this, anybody do this here, but in other places, you know, I've heard that, you know, the biggest giver, you know, he's got a lot of political influence in the church because he gives so much, and you know, he threatens occasionally, you know, if he takes away his gift, then you're just not going to have a church anymore, you know. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Well, that's a sinful attitude. That attitude needs to stop. That attitude needs to go away. And I'm not saying there's anybody here who has that attitude. I don't know. But if that's our attitude, then we are not giving so that our elders can be joyful. We're causing them grief. And we don't need to do that, because one day they're going to have to give an account for your soul. And they're going to stand before the judge and they're going to say, it was a joy to have this person as a member of our congregation. Or they're going to say, you know what? This person gave us a lot of grief. Now, who do you want to be on that day? The person who gave joy or the person who gave grief? Because that is being decided right now. And partially, it's being decided by our giving. Let's give in such a way so that we're going to give our eldership joy and not grief. Now, we should give to the local church because, number one, God gave for me in a very personal way. And so I need to personally give to Him. Secondly, the local church needs my gift. We have a tremendous amount of work to do, and we're doing it, and we're doing a good work. My gift makes a difference, and it's made a difference in the lives of every single person here. And we should be thankful for the giving that has been done. And then finally, it is my Christian responsibility to give, and I need to give. And if I'm partaking of the Lord's Supper, if I have an income, then I need to be putting something in the plate. And so let's give to the local church. Now, God has given to us His Son, Jesus Christ, and He hung on the cross. God gave everything for us, everything that He had in this world, His only begotten Son, and He blessed us. And we have an opportunity to follow Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Now, this morning, if you're not a Christian, we haven't been talking to you directly, but we have been talking to you about what it means to give. And if you're not a Christian, recognize God gave to you, and you need to give back to Him by becoming a Christian. Through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord and being baptized, you can become a child of God, and then you too can participate in the great work of God by giving. And I'm thankful that I get to give and participate in the work that this church is doing. And I invite you to be thankful also, while together we stand and while we sing.